Welcome to It's All Politics from NPR News. I'm Ron Elving.
And I'm Ken Rudin.
Oh, Ken, you're a little sleepy.
I know.
You're a little sleepy? You haven't gotten any sleep? Look, I
had to stay up till 7:30 at night, on Tuesday night, to find out who's going to win the presidency.
7:30 p.m.
Yeah,
you had to stay up a little late to find out because you couldn't read exit polls like the rest of us.
Well, I don't like exit polls.
Why not?
Because I like the excitement of election night.
You like suspense.
I do.
You want to be kept on tenterhooks.
I do. I don't like the fact that everybody knows the smarty pantses of the world look at the websites at 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock in the afternoon and decide they know.
Not at all this year. There was no such information until after 5 p.m.
Right, okay, so 5 p.m. But I like the fact that you don't know what's going to happen. But the excitement of the night for me is, one, sitting next to Ron Elving.
That was exciting for both of us.
Yes. And two, once Barack Obama won Pennsylvania, which was, of course, John McCain's only hope for a big red state pickup. And then when he blue state pickup. And then when he won Ohio, those two states.
It was over.
Here's what's interesting. When we were looking at Tuesday night, when we were looking at the returns coming in and looking at the counties that mattered and the House races and everything, I think I missed the enormity of it, the history of it. I was just doing more mechanical stuff. Look at these numbers. Look at these results.
You were being analytical.
I was. But then the next morning, reading the paper, watching the TV, I said, oh, my God, something amazing happened.
This was a big election.
It was.
And you know, possibly the reason, too, behind that was that we had been for many months talking about why this was a historic turning point, possibly.
First president born in Hawaii.
That is correct. Right. Or possibly the president who, first president born in Panama Canal, or the oldest person ever to take the office, or go back a few more months, the first woman president of the United States. Anyway, we've been talking about all these historical things all year long, and it just seemed as though at the actual moment of counting the votes, it all came down to kind of a mechanical process, and it was slightly anticlimactic at one point until Obama came out to give his speech.
What's the thing I told you early in the evening? What I told you?
You said you were depressed.
I was depressed.
You were actually feeling the earliest postpartum depression of this election, which has been such a big part of our lives, or those of us who had lives.
Exactly.
And it mattered. It mattered enormously that we have this big thing at the center of our lives, and now we all have to deal with the fact that it is OVER.
Bring your own bottle? No, what I thought was interesting, too, is that, I mean, start from the beginning. It was Hillary Clinton and Mitt Romney were the likely nominees.
Let me correct you.
I never heard that sound before.
It was Hillary Clinton and Rudy Giuliani.
You said Rudy. I said
one year ago, it was Rudy Giuliani. Then I wandered off into Fred Thompson land. Mea culpa.
No. Mayor Bloomberg. Mayor Bloomberg.
That's right. Through my most grievous fault, I did think Fred Thompson was going to go somewhere. It turned out, though, he didn't want to get up out of bed in the morning.
That's right. Once they had the Hollywood writer strike, he was finished.
He was finished.
Barack Obama, I mean, he nobody heard of him. He gave an amazing speech, but look.
2004. Can you be elected president in 2008 on a speech you gave in 2004?
Barack Obama did.
Yes, you can, apparently. Well, all right.
Have you ever seen a campaign run so flawlessly? I mean, what mistakes has he done?
He made mistakes, but he survived the mistakes, and so we forget the mistakes. Yeah. But otherwise, we would have said, wow, why did he say that thing to that guy in Ohio that turned him into Joe the Plumber, that made everybody focus on his tax plan,
that made
everybody vote for John McCain?
The bitter comment?
The bitter. That was terrible back in the primaries when he said the people in small towns were bitter about their lives, and therefore they clung to religion.
But the biggest thing I didn't have—
Clung to their guns?
I can't believe he had the nerve to say that plagiarism with Deval Patrick, that was unbelievable.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
You know, of course he made mistakes. And there were tactical mistakes they made as well. And they did not know how to deal with Hillary Clinton very well. And she almost came back and took it away from him after he had it sewn up at the end of February.
Have you seen the map, the post-election map? The counties that have gone Republican for decades, the Indianas and the Virginias of the world.
Okay, but
I probably thought there was more of a Bradley effect than there was.
I did not want to bring up Ohio.
No, I think it's fair.
I wasn't going to mention Ohio.
No, I even when I called Ohio, I said, I'm not sure about that.
I could be bigger than this. I could not mention Ohio.
Good, thanks. That's a good idea. Virginia, we did think. That's 1964. Indiana was 1964. North Carolina may very well go for Obama. It hasn't been called yet.
12,000 votes, not called yet. But look, I mean, Indiana was a shocker, you got to say.
Yeah.
I would have thought that Missouri would have gone before Indiana, but it looks like Missouri, via a small margin, may yet go for McCain.
Right.
Indiana, that's a shocker, no question about it. I think in a way even more than North Carolina, because the particular mix of people, the number of black votes, the political traditions of the states, I just thought Indiana was going to stay red.
Yeah, I did too. I did too. Even though, of course, we've seen that they've elected Evan Bayh to the Senate, Secretary of State. They've elected several Democratic governors, although Mitch Daniels, of course, was reelected governor on Tuesday. But for president, no. I mean, it was Lyndon Johnson, 64. Florida, of course, has gone Democratic in the
back
past.
Back and forth.
Yeah.
Maybe even for Gore.
Right.
Certainly did once for Clinton. So look, we can see a glimmer in some of those states that Obama carried that had previously been thought of as red. But Indiana was a shocker.
And actually, it was 52-46 popular vote, which was not Richard Nixon, Lyndon Johnson, Ronald Reagan 84 type landslides,
no.
But a 300 plus electoral college landslide. That was those were big numbers.
It looks like it will wind up being something along the lines of 364 electoral votes, which is a little bit shy, unless Barack Obama can pick up Missouri still. It doesn't look likely.
No.
If he did that, he would be up there with Bill Clinton of 1996. But he's going to have a bigger percentage of the vote than Bill Clinton had
Bill
in
Clinton
1996 because he was shy of 50%.
Both times in 92 and 96.
And the biggest margin, in fact, other than LBJ, that any Democrat has had for president since FDR was 50.50.
Jimmy Carter.
For Jimmy Carter. And so Barack Obama is the first really clear majority winner other than LBJ since FDR for the Democrats. That is a stunning fact.
And we know we always say that Democrats win the presidency when you are a Southerner. Bill Clinton, Jimmy Carter, Lyndon Johnson. So, in that sense, Barack Obama is the first Northern Democrat since
JFK.
But
in one interesting way, Barack Obama, who's never lived in the South, except, you know, in some sense in Washington, D.C.
Well, Indonesia is South, isn't it?
Did have, though, what Democrats who have won in the past have had to have, some kind of special appeal in the South. And clearly Barack Obama had that with his enormous connection to the African-American community. To think that a year ago we were still wondering, can this man connect with African-American voters? Not only did he do so and take them away from Hillary Clinton, but he brought them out in record numbers all over the country. Not a huge change, but enough of an increment on top of any turnout for African Americans we'd ever seen before. And then he won virtually all of them, not just 90% like typical Democrats, but way up in the 90s.
But even if he won 90% of them, it was such a larger turnout. 90% of a smaller number is
big.
But 90% of a huge number is even bigger.
Yes.
And look what he did in the Senate races. African American turnout in North Carolina ended.
Goodbye, Elizabeth Dole.
The fact that Saxby Chambliss could not reach a majority in Tuesday's vote is forced into a December 2nd runoff.
In Georgia.
Because
and that's all Barack Obama's turnout.
African-American turnout. And there are still some Senate races that are yet to be called. Alaska. Now, I thought that Ted Stevens' 7 felony counts was not going to survive.
He was down 20 points in some polls right after those convictions were announced. But he came home, and you know what he said? He said, I haven't been convicted of anything.
Right.
I'm on appeal. It was a weird jury, and that was certainly true. And people just sort of shrugged their shoulders and said, well, maybe he's right. Maybe this isn't the condemnatory final note on Ted Stevens we thought.
Ted Stevens has not been declared the winner yet, but he has somewhat of a lead against Mark Begich, the mayor of Anchorage. If Sarah Palin hadn't affected anywhere, maybe it was Alaska. Don Young, who was under FBI investigation, seemed to win big against
nobody thought Don Young was
going to win. No, I didn't think so either.
What could happen in Alaska that's kind of special?
Well, look, both not only did McCain and Palin call for Ted Stevens' immediate resignation, so did Mitch McConnell. I suspect that a convicted felon returning to the Senate would not like that too much, especially with a larger Democratic majority.
They won't expel him.
Well, they could be. Well, they look, Harrison Williams resigned. Bob Packwood resigned only in the advance of a likely vote to expel.
I don't think he'll be expelled. I think what they'll do is they'll make it all part of his plea bargain with the government, by which he drops his appeal and he does not get jail time and he pays a large fine, and those 7 convictions stay on the books, of course, as convictions, and he resigns from the Senate.
Well, of course, I do suspect, though, that President Bush will pardon him before he leaves office, so I think those convictions will be expunged. But what does that do to the Senate seat? There would be a special election because of Frank Murkowski. The governor is no longer allowed to make an appointment in the Senate, so there would be a special election. And there's somebody who may very well run for that seat.
Gee, would that be someone named Sarah Palin?
No. I was thinking of Sarah Palin.
Uh-huh.
The governor of Alaska, who could resign and come to Washington. How about that?
And Ken, as tortured as all that may seem, I think enough of that got through to a certain base of Alaskan voters in the last few days before the election that a certain number of Alaska Republicans who otherwise would have voted for Mark Begich
decided, Ted Stevens.
Yeah, vote for Ted Stevens, but elect Sarah Palin and send her to Washington.
And I'd love to see Sarah Palin and John McCain not look at each other in the Senate.
That would be an interesting pairing. Right. Other Senate races that are still hanging fire.
Minnesota, Norm Coleman has a slight lead over Al Franken.
571 votes.
Right. Basically, it's the question of whom the voters disliked least. Neither one was popular. And, of course, you had almost a half a million votes for
Dean Barkley.
For Dean Barkley, which is 15% of the vote.
If he then can emerge from this recount that we're going to have, we'll have saved his seat in the Senate.
That's pretty remarkable. And, of course, we still have the undecided thing in Oregon. It could be called as
any,
early as
any
today.
Hour, really. Yes, I think it could happen.
Jeff Merkley has a lead over Gordon Smith. Not a surprise.
Let's count that one. Let's say that that's one more for the Democrats. It's a pickup of six if you count both Lieberman and Bernie Sanders as Democrats in the current Senate.
Right. And not everybody does.
And that's another question. Will Joe Lieberman be essentially dismissed and banned and stripped of his committee chairmanship?
There's no question he will no longer be chairman of the
Government Reform and Homeland Security.
That's gone. He spoke at the Republican convention. He dissed Barack Obama
all
on the campaign
trail. All through the campaign, up on the stage, saying bad things about the Democratic nominee.
Do you kick him out of the Democratic caucus? I suspect they don't. I think Harry Reid is going to probably talk to that. Joe Lieberman is good friends with John McCain. I'm sure he doesn't regret that endorsement.
No, he doesn't regret it.
No.
He knew right from the start what he was doing. He was putting his career on the line when he did this. All right. In the House, looks like the 256 number that was the Democrats' number back in 1994, right before the Gingrich tsunami hit them, is going to be pretty close to where they are after this election.
As of we're speaking, it's a 19-vote pickup. Unlike 2006, though, there were Democrats who went down. Tim Mahoney in Florida, the scandal-ridden Tim Mahoney, as we expected. Nancy Boyd of Kansas lost.
Boyd.
Boyd. Don Cashew had an in Louisiana had
Baton Rouge. Mm-hmm.
Had an African-American third-party candidate, so we knew he would go down.
But not John Murtha in Pennsylvania.
Not Paul
Kanjorski in Pennsylvania, both of whom were thought to be right on the bubble.
Yeah, they went pretty comfortably.
They did in the end because I think in the end, the Pennsylvania Democratic turnout effort was so overwhelming, even in their districts, which were not, of course, the heart of Barack Obama land by any means. Still, the Democratic turnout effort throughout the state of Pennsylvania was extraordinary, exemplary.
Chris Shays,
the last Republican.
Last Republican in the Northeast. As a matter of fact, this is the first time in history there will be not a Republican House member in Northeast, which has never, ever, ever happened.
So that's the House, 256 Democrats. That's bringing the Republicans
although there's still six outstanding.
Could be a little more than 256. The Senate looks like 57 Democrats, 43 Republicans, if you count the two independents with the Democrats.
Well, 56 right now. They picked up six so far.
So if, for example, either Georgia or Minnesota or possibly even Alaska were to still, in some unlikely way, produce a Democratic victory, that could be 58. All right, a few governor's races of interest. In Missouri, Jay Nixon, who's been running statewide there for 20 years, seems to have finally picked up the final victory that he wanted all along, which was governor of Missouri.
Not close. Republicans hoped they would pick up North Carolina thing with the mayor of Charlotte, Pat McCrory. He lost to Bev Perdue. Great year for women in North Carolina, even though Elizabeth Dole was replaced by Kay Hagan, but great year for Democratic women in North Carolina. And Christine Gregoire, who won by like 133 votes 4 years ago, won pretty handily in the rematch in Washington State against Dino Rossi.
Some of the propositions.
Will you marry me?
Well, apparently not. Not if we're going to live in California or Florida or several other places where people passed anti-gay marriage measures, making it unconstitutional or illegal for such marriages to take place. So we'll just have to live in civil union, Ken, if you can keep a civil tongue.
There were stories about folks who were on their way to City Hall to be married, and then the results of the special election
came. Arrested. They were arrested right there on the street. Ken, we heard a lot going into this election about the disruption of the process, of failures of the process, of malfunctioning machines, of missing ballots, of suppression of the vote, and a lot about voter fraud. What did we see on Tuesday?
You know something? It's interesting. I think when the election is close, people notice that. We do know that 1996, for example, over 100,000 votes in Chicago were thrown out, but nobody cared about it.
They were just spoiled. They were just thrown away.
Because Bill Clinton won big, and he won Illinois big, and so it didn't matter. And of course, it does matter, but I think nobody paid attention to it. I have not seen evidence of vote suppression or votes
fraud
or anything like that. It could be there. There still could be the same number of votes that were discarded unfairly or whatever, but because it was not a controversial election. And let me say one thing about this. With all the polls showing an African-American candidate ahead, anywhere from 4 to 14 points, whatever, thank goodness, and this is not me talking as a Democrat or a Republican, I think it's just good for the system. The fact is that there was no question about the outcome of this election, because I think at this time, with all that happened in the past 8 years, starting in 2000 election, that this was an election that was not controversial.
And then we have had in the last 6 months and a year a lot of debate about voter fraud, massive attempts for people to vote illegally, and so there was a lot of attention paid to that, and the attempt to restrain people from voting illegally oftentimes is taken as voter intimidation or voter suppression. So I'm sure we've had incidents of this all over the country. We've heard reports of it. Many of those are going to get reported and talked about and maybe even adjudicated. But we did not have an election nationally or in any state that I'm aware of that's tainted, that's question mark, that's really holding us up from moving ahead.
And I think listening to, especially John McCain election night, I think he also, with a very magnanimous concession speech.
I think
that helped as well. One thing we should mention, though, that I think it's fair to say that Bob Barr did hurt Cynthia McKinney's chances of becoming the next president.
I think he put a hurt on her.
Yeah.
That's it for this week's political podcast.
You can follow NPR's political coverage at npr.org/elections.
I'm Ron Elving.
And I'm Ken Rudin.
Join us again next week, and there will be a next week, for It's All Politics from NPR News.
Changes. Turn and face the strain. Changes. Don't tell them to grow up on